ourselves to the teaching of God's word. Fellowship with believers, breaking bread in communion. Won't you come and join us?
Welcome to the Sustaining Word, a listener-supported teaching ministry of Calvary Chapel, Manitowoc, Wisconsin. Join Pastor Joe Guglielmo for today's study from God's Word, the Bible. Stay tuned at the end of the broadcast for program ordering information.
And where is he leading us to? To glory. And one day we'll be taken home to be with him, just as he's told us, he's promised us. He's preparing a new home for our spirit and soul to dwell in, a mansion, you might say, or a permanent, eternal dwelling place, as we're told in John chapter 14. So we see the future aspect of what Christ is doing, bringing us to glory. And we're secure in him. Why? Why are we secure in him? I like what Peter said in 1 Peter 1:5, who are kept by the power of God through faith for salvation, ready to be revealed in the last time. It doesn't say who are kept by the power of Joe, or you could put your name in there. Is our salvation based on our power to maintain it and sustain it? No. It's based on the power of God. And if you doubt it, Peter goes on to say in 1 Peter 1:9, receiving the end of your faith, the salvation of your souls. There it is. Now, it's interesting. You don't see Jude use the word Trinity, and people go, oh, you know, Trinity's not in the Bible. No, but the picture is. So can't you look at the picture? The Holy Spirit calls us, the Father sanctifies us, and Jesus preserves us. Do they do much more than that? Absolutely, but that's what James is focusing on here. And look at what we can enjoy. Look at verse 2. Mercy, peace, and love be multiplied to you. Wow. I like that. Not just having mercy, peace, and love, but have it multiplied. This is what should fill our lives. Mercy is just not getting what we deserve, which is death because of our sins before a holy and righteous God. And why don't we get what we deserve, death? Because we made peace with God. We made peace with God through Jesus Christ. That's what Paul says in Romans 5, verses 1 through 2. Therefore, having been justified by faith, we have peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ, through whom we also have access by faith into this grace in which we stand and rejoice in hope of the glory of God. You see, we make peace with God through Jesus Christ. Apart from coming to saving faith, we're at war with God. And look at what's going on today in the world. Do you think the world is at war with God? Look at what it's doing. Look at how it's behaving. Look at the immorality that is growing leaps and bounds. You know, I don't know if Angie had mentioned it. I had forgotten about it. But in Madison, they had a bike ride, Pride Month, Gay Pride, naked bike ride. Why? Exactly why? Because the more immorality we're putting out there. I don't know about you, but if I'm riding a bike, I don't want to be naked. I'm sorry. But think about this. In Madison, they allowed this. What has happened? We're at war with God. And you know, God will allow this to go on for a time, and then judgment will come. They are in God's face right now. You know how a kid throwing a temper tantrum is really mad at his parents and just... How long does that go on for? Well, there's a little time, and then, okay, now it's time. Discipline, judgment. And that's what we're seeing today. I think we're getting close to it. Now, Appleton had their Pride Month celebration on Saturday, I guess, and hardly anyone showed up, praise God. I was thankful for that. But wow. So the world's at war with God. And the only way they're going to find peace is by making peace with God. Because that's, you have to make peace with God to enjoy the peace of God in your life. Philippians 4, verses 6 through 7. Be anxious for nothing, but in everything, by prayer and supplication with thanksgiving, make your requests be made known to God. And the peace of God, which surpasses all understanding, will guard your hearts and your minds in Christ Jesus. Wow. You cannot have the peace of God without first making peace with God. And we make peace with God through Jesus Christ, as I've said. That's true peace. A peace that is beyond our understanding. It's a peace in the midst of turmoil. How could you be at peace? Because of God. That's the only one, only way. So we have mercy and peace through Jesus and love. His love is poured out into our hearts and lives. Man, you cannot read the Gospels and not come to the point of saying, man, God's love is just amazing. I can't believe how much he loves sinful man, loves me. But he does. And it's that agape love. It's the unconditional love. He loved us when we were still sinners and went to the cross of Calvary to die for our sins. And Paul, Romans 5:5 said, now hope does not disappoint because the love of God has been poured out into our hearts by the Holy Spirit who was given to us. God has given us this agape love, this supernatural love, this unconditional love. And he says, I want you to give that mercy and peace and love to others. I want you to reach out to people. They don't deserve it. Neither do we. You see, once we feel that we're better than everyone else, we've placed ourselves up on a pedestal and we're looking down at people. We're on the same level. The only thing that is different for us is that we've come to Christ. We're not any better. And thus, someone reached out to us with the love of Jesus, may we do the same. You see how important that is? Now, Jude has so much to write about. He wants to talk about this common salvation issue. He's really excited, and we'll see more of this next week. But he wants to deal with an issue that he sees happening in the church back then and what we see happening today. And that's how I'm going to finish up our study this morning. And, you know, I realize that for some this may be difficult, but we need to understand the battle that's going on, the battle from the world we understand. Do you understand there's a battle within the church itself today? It'll be interesting. I hope, you know, at least a few pastors write me a letter after that opinion piece, because I'd love to talk with them. Not to put them down, but to talk with them. The whole reason I wrote the letter is to make them think, to stir their hearts. And that's really important. Because if they really were honest with themselves, they are judgmental. Because they don't agree with everything and anything. And so my judgment is made according to the Word of God. What is your judgment made by? Your feelings. And there is the danger. So, you know, my prayer is that we would truly understand the battle that is before us, because understand that even our government is going to come against some parts of the Bible. And we'll deal a little bit with that in a few minutes. But remember what Jesus said in Matthew 5, verses 10 and 11. He said, blessed are those who are persecuted for righteousness' sake, for theirs is the kingdom of heaven. Blessed are you when they revile and persecute you and say all kinds of evil against you falsely for my sake. Why are they being persecuted? For standing up for Jesus, for living for him. Paul said, yes, and all those who desire to live godly in Christ Jesus will suffer persecution. So when you stand up for righteousness, when you stand up for the things of God, the world is going to come after you. But now we also see the church coming after us. Interesting. And it will, not might. This will happen. One writer said, but by far the greatest reason there is so little persecution is that the church has become like the world. If you want to get along, the formula is simple. Approve of the world's morals and ethics, at least outwardly. Live like the world lives. Laugh at its humor. Immerse yourself in its entertainment. Smile benignly when God is mocked. Act as if all religions converge on the same road. Don't mention hell. Draw no moral judgments. Take no stand on moral political issues. Above all, do not share your faith. Follow this formula and it will be smooth sailing. But the fact is, the church must be persecuted or it's no church at all. People need to be told that if they follow Christ, there will be a price to pay. It will affect how they get along at school. It will affect their profile at the club. It will affect how they make their living. It's a glorious thing when the church and the individual are persecuted for righteousness' sake, because that means they are like Christ. There you go. I'm here to tell you, as you follow the Lord, because of what you stand for, you will be persecuted, not might. They're going to come against you. One of their tactics is you are hateful and unloving. You're not like Jesus because you won't accept this lifestyle. And we buy into it because we listen to what they're saying instead of what God says. No, I love them and I'm telling them the truth. And if I don't love them, I'll just agree with them. You know, I think years ago they understood the church was in a battle. Remember the song, Onward Christian Soldiers? Onward Christian soldiers marching as to war with the cross of Jesus going on before. Christ the royal master leads us against the foe. Forward into battle, see his banner go. Onward Christian soldiers marching as to war with the cross of Jesus going on before. Now, here's the argument today. Oh, that's wrong. Jesus didn't come to bring war. He came to bring peace. He's the Prince of Peace, right? So how can we be so against all these people? We need to be at peace with them. Well, I'll just share Matthew 10, verses 34 through 39. You tell me. Do not think that I came to bring peace on earth, Jesus said. I did not come to bring peace, but a sword. For I come to set a man against his father, a daughter against her mother, and a daughter-in-law against her mother-in-law. And a man's enemies will be those of his own household. He who loves father or mother more than me is not worthy of me. And he who loves son or daughter more than me is not worthy of me. And he who does not take his cross and follow after me is not worthy of me. He who finds his life will lose it, and he who loses his life for my sake will find it. How often do you hear a message like that? Not too often. In fact, it's troubling to a lot of people. People say it's confusing. I thought Jesus did come to bring peace. Jesus came to bring peace between man and God. And it's through that, as we come to Christ, what Paul says, Jew and Gentile are brought together into one body. The divisions are gone in Christ. But he came to bring peace with God. And I have seen this before, where families are upset because their son, their daughter, has gotten saved. A son or daughter that was into drugs and alcohol, or life was being destroyed, his life was being destroyed, and now they're saved and they're so mad. How could you do that? Well, their life is transformed. They've been set free by Jesus. Their drugs and alcohol are no longer part of their life. You should be praising God and jumping up and down, shouting for joy. Why? Because now that light of the child is shining upon their lives and they don't like it, and they're lashing out. There are divisions between family and friends when we come to Christ. I honestly don't have one friend from before I got saved. Can't even get in touch with them because I'd love to get in touch with them. Those are the divisions that come. And I guess who are we going to serve? Are we going to serve self so we just blend in with everyone else and we look no different? Or are we going to be like Jesus and stick out like a sore thumb? I want to be like Jesus. And I guess we have to die to self. True life is found as we surrender to the Lord, guys. And he's called us into this battle. And this battle is against the demonic world. It's a battle against sin. It's a battle against unrighteousness. Paul, in Ephesians 6, verses 10 through 13, put it like this. Finally, my brethren, be strong in the Lord and in the power of his might. Put on the whole armor of God that you may be able to stand against the wiles of the devil. For we do not wrestle against flesh and blood, but against principalities, against powers, against the rulers of the darkness of this age, against spiritual hosts of wickedness in the heavenly places. Therefore, take up the whole armor of God that you may be able to withstand in the evil day, and having done all, to stand. And then Paul goes on speaking about the armor of God that we're to put on. Why? Because we're in a battle. We need to be wearing the right equipment if we're going to fight the spiritual battle. And you know, It's not a physical battle. It's played out in the physical world. Make no mistake about that. But it's a spiritual battle that we are facing. We can't attack it with bombs or guns or whatever. We have to put on the whole armor of God because we're wrestling against flesh, not against flesh and blood, but against principalities and powers, against the rulers of darkness of this age. The spiritual host of wickedness, you see that battle. And it's played out because Satan's demonic forces work through people's lives and governments' lives. You doubt that? Just read Daniel chapter 10. Demons over political landscapes. And I believe we see that today. And, you know, we battle these demonic forces that seem to be stepping things up. I mean, have you ever seen so much depression, so much suicide, so much heaviness upon people's lives than today? Jesus says he gives life and life more abundantly, right? What does the devil do? He comes to kill, destroy lives. That's exactly what we're seeing. And the hope for people, I'm not saying Christians can't get depressed. They can't. It's just the reality because we're dealing with these bodies of flesh. But for the world, they have no hope. David said, "Why are you so cast down, O my soul?" You could just feel his pain. And then he says, "Hope in God." It's like the light went on. Oh, yeah, you know what? I'm focusing on the wrong thing. And that's what we need to get people. You need to turn to Christ. You need to surrender your life to him because that's where our hope is. And we're fighting against these evil ideologies that wants to conform us. We battle this flesh that tries to entice us as we move away from God and into sin. We battle the devil who wants to compromise our faith. We battle sin, which is a result of giving into the flesh. We battle materialism that tries to draw us away from God. We battle pride, which makes us think more highly of ourselves. And we are in a battle, we're in a war, and we have to pay attention, and we have to put on the whole armor of God. Or as Paul said in 1 Timothy 6:12, fight the good fight of faith, because it's a battle. The word fight is, in the Greek, speaks of labor fervently, struggle, contending against an adversary. We get our English word agonize from this Greek word, yeah. And it's going to be a battle. We see it happening in other countries, and I think we're seeing it in our own country as well. But I'll just share with you what happened in January of 2022 in Canada. Christianity being outlawed in Canada. Pastors will be imprisoned while the government promotes LGBT, pedophilia, and exploitation of children. So-called conversion therapy is now banned in Canada. And thousands of churches across the country are bracing for impact as the new law threatens to criminalize pastors for teaching the Bible. More than 4,000 church leaders are reportedly standing together in protest against the rule, which makes it a crime to try to convert homosexuals and other members of the LGBTQ community out of their lifestyle. Even those who would willingly seek out conversion will no longer be allowed this freedom in Canada, as pastors there are now prohibited from offering any sort of counseling or therapy on this matter. Ultimately, the dissenters, the ones who will not cave in, are going to be those who are faithful to the Bible. MacArthur is quoted as saying about it. And that's what's already leading to laws made against doing what we are commanded to do in the scriptures, which is to confront that sin. And that's just going to escalate. The fact that they identified it as a criminal conduct that could give you as much as 5 years in prison takes it to a completely different level because Canadian pastors have been put in jail for just having church services. A similar push towards criminalizing Christianity is also occurring in the United States, though you might say that it is still in the infancy stages of a nationwide rollout. Left-leaning states like California, New York, and New Jersey have passed similar bills criminalizing conversion therapy at the state level, as has Nevada. MacArthur says this is a disturbing trend that American Christians must fight against if they hope to preserve freedom of religion in this country. I think it's reached a level there in Canada that it hasn't yet reached here, but it's coming, he warns, and it's coming fast. I believe our government is capitalizing on a politically expedient segment of its constituency in an effort to further dismantle Western civilization as we know it. To do this, it must outlaw its very foundation, which is rooted in a Judeo-Christian worldview. Bill C-4 is another brick laid in this effort and is evidence that our government is under the judgment of God, he added. We are at a war, guys. Do you think I'm going to water the message down because the government tells me to? No, because I know what God has said. And to do that, I'm going to be conformed to the world. I don't want to be conformed to the world. I want to be transformed by God. And the problem here is that many Christians, churches, they're kind of like dead fish. They will just float wherever the stream leads them. They're conforming to what the world has for them. I want to be the salmon who goes upstream. I don't remember here in Wisconsin, we used to take the kids watching the salmon go upstream. And it was amazing to see the fight that they have. They don't give up. And that's what we need to do. We need to fight this fight of faith. And if we don't do anything, if we don't stand up for the truths of God found in the Word of God, we don't have any reason to complain. We need to take a stand and then do it in love. That's my prayer with the letter that I sent to Herald Times Reporter, that it wasn't hateful, because it's not meant to be hateful. It's not meant to make fun of people or put people down. It's to let them see the truth, that God loves them, and he loves them so much he tells us what is right and what is wrong, and we need to obey him. One writer said, Jude's message of judgment is especially relevant to people today, for our churches are prone to sentimentality, suffer from moral breakdown, are too often failed to pronounce a definitive word of judgment because of an inadequate definition of love. Jude's letter reminds us that errant teaching and immoral living have dire consequences. Absolutely. And we'll look at that more. We're going to dig into that more as we continue on in Jude, and as he's going to tell us that we have to earnestly contend for the faith that has been entrusted to us. And then we're going to look at the apostasy and apostates as Jude speaks of them. But if we fail to heed the warning by Jude, we're going to compromise our faith, and in the end, it'll be empty. We'll end up with a different gospel, a different Jesus, a different Bible. And that's what people want to do. Thomas Jefferson made his own version of the Bible. He edited out things he didn't like. He didn't put in there about the resurrection of Jesus Christ, which is fascinating to me because it's pretty important, right? But he edited it out because he didn't believe in it. We don't have that. We don't have the authority to edit God's word. Only God does. And he's not. He's not going to change. He's the same yesterday, today, and forever. Remember when I opened up about the root problem today? The root cause has to do with the condition of our hearts. Are we drawn to the beauty and power of God's good word because we are drawn to God himself? How much do we love God? How much do we read his word is the evidence of how much we love God. And not just reading it, you know, applying the truths of God found in the word of God to our lives. And as Christians, if we're not contending for our faith, we need to watch ourselves because the devil will never give up. He wants to destroy your faith and your witness. But we need to, as the purpose of Jude writes, contend earnestly for the faith which was once for all delivered to the saints. That's the battle line, guys. And again, I'm hoping you're seeing that this is so appropriate for the days we're living in. We need to hear this. And I think this is why the Lord led me to this letter to do next here on Sunday mornings. Because we have to contend for this faith. And it's interesting, it's the faith. Now it's interesting, you know, my word program, when I type all this stuff up and I put the faith, it wants to take the out and just contend for faith. No, it's the faith that we are contending for. The faith we have in here and in our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Let's pray. Father, we thank you for this letter of Jude's, Lord. And again, how appropriate it is for the days we're living in. And I pray it stir our hearts to rise up and to contend for this faith that's been entrusted to us. Not being obnoxious. We're not persecuted for obnoxious sake. We're persecuted for standing up for righteousness, for doing the things that you've called us to do. And we need to do that in our day. And it's going to affect our lives. And Lord, I just pray that we're ready, that we put on the whole armor of God, that we stand strong and fight this battle that's before us. Help us, Lord. We ask these things in Jesus' name. Amen.
Devoting ourselves to the teaching of God's word, fellowship with believers, breaking bread in communion. Won't you come and join us as we feast on God's word?
That's all the time we have for today's teaching. If you would like a personal copy of this message, mention today's date when you contact us. Our mailing address is Calvary Chapel, Manitowoc, Post Office Box 224, Manitowoc, Wisconsin, 54221-0224. Our telephone number is area code 920-682-6163. Or visit us on the web at www.thesustainingword.com, where you can listen to past studies and review the study notes. It is the hope of Pastor Joe and the congregation of Calvary Chapel, Manitowoc, that you would grow in the grace and knowledge of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Until next time, may the Lord nourish you with His sustaining word.